Great. Good morning, friends.
Morning.
Just to the music team, hey? Well done for this morning. You guys, they sow every week without grumbling, without moaning about time, and they sow their lives. And this morning, we get to eat a little bit of that fruit as we worship Jesus. And so, guys, well done. Really value what you do for this local church. This morning, I have the privilege of sharing a message. This message, the topic is going to be about this biblical principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Because if you want to reap a harvest, you've got to sow seed. And what you sow, you will reap. To help drive this message through this morning, I actually wanted to dress like a farmer in fellies, rugby socks, khaki shorts, and a khaki top. But you will be thankful that my wife convinced me not to, because otherwise my lack of calves would have been a stumbling block for you to receive the message this morning. So you can, yeah, there we go. But it's such an important part of our lives as Christ followers, to be a people that sow. Louis, you can actually turn the gain down a bit. It's on the verge of feedback. But part of being a Christian is that we are to be generous. We are to give. We are to sow. Paul, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 46, likens the Christian walk to three things: to a soldier, to an athlete, and to a farmer. But not just any farmer, a hard-working farmer. A hard-working farmer will work the ground, he cultivates the land, and he sows the seed in order to reap a harvest. You may have heard this term, what goes around, comes around. Everyone heard that?
Yeah.
What goes around, comes around. My wife likes to use this Afrikaans saying on me plenty of times. Blinde sambok. Jy saai what jy maai wat jy saai. I'm trying to keep the theme going through the preacher this morning as well. But this whole principle of sowing and reaping is the principle that whatever we do, whatever we say in this life, whether positive, whether negative, will produce a crop or a harvest that you and I will eat from. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that what we do in this life will affect the world around us and will have a direct impact on our lives too. Like a farmer who sows seed. If he sows corn, he's not going to reap apples. He's going to reap corn. That's the basic principle, and the same is true for us this morning. What are you sowing into this life? The word that we get from farming is the word broadcast. Actually, we get the word broadcast from the 18th century way of sowing. You know, broadcast as in television and radio? You get it from the 18th century way of farming, because the farmer would take the seed in a satchel and he would just broadcast it. He would broadcast it. And I ask myself the question, what seed do I have in my satchel? And what am I broadcasting to this world? What am I sowing? What am I revealing to people in my life? Is my seed building others up, or is it breaking them down? Is it pointing people to Jesus, or pointing people away from Jesus? If we want to reap a harvest, we must sow seed. We cannot reap where we have not sown. For example, if you want to have a fit body and you want to work on your health, you've got to exercise and preferably eat a nutritious diet. I don't know about you, but I'd like to just push a button and all of a sudden have arms like Justin Sala. Honestly, but I know that it took hard work, and many hours in the gym and a tremendous amount of boiled eggs and baked beans. I know, because I'm in the office with this guy every week. I see his diet. I know him. Maybe perhaps for all you students and scholars, if you want to reap great results in your exams, you must sow time and effort into your studies. Eh? We can't study 10% and in our prayer time remind Jesus about the boy who offered 2 fish and 5 loaves, which Jesus used to feed 5,000. And in the same way, we go to him with the little that we study and we say, Lord, multiply it. It doesn't work. I've tried it. It took me 8 years almost to do a 4-year degree. But how about your relationship with Jesus? If you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, you have to sow. The title of my message is this: sow to grow. You have to sow to grow. We often look at other people's lives and we see, jeez, they're walking in such intimacy with Jesus. They're doing radical things. And we ask the question, but why am I not experiencing what they are experiencing? The question I ask myself is, what am I sowing into my relationship with Jesus? What are you sowing in the field of your life? Whether we know this or not, our lives are surrounded by fields. Our lives are surrounded by fields that God has given us responsibility over to cultivate, and he has also given us seed to sow upon these fields in order to bring life, in order to bring his kingdom life, a harvest of righteousness. These fields that I'm talking about would be your life. It would be your marriage. What are you sowing into your marriage? It would be your children. It would be your work environment. It would be your next door neighbor. It would be the person that you speak to when you're buying bread and milk. Even Facebook is a field. What are you sowing in that field? What are you doing with the seed that God has given you to sow this morning? Let's read 2 Corinthians 9. 6-12. Can I get my water there, babe? No, that's fine. Is Justin Sola in the meeting, by the way? Okay. But this message is being recorded. But I just wanted to share with that man, that boy, has sowed seed into many young people's lives. This front row. Well, you guys are young too. But Justin Sola has sown seed. And we are reaping, this church is reaping a harvest because of what he has done. He has given. But I'm telling you now, he's going to reap a harvest, a greater harvest, when Jesus returns one day. And that's what we're living for, friends. Let's read from verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Say each one. Hey, I think we can do that a bit better. Each one. That means every single one of us have something to give. It says each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is the attitude of our giving? Because that will determine the type of seed that we sow into this life. Do I sow hate or do I sow forgiveness? Do I sow peace or do I sow violence? Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. And this is just such a rich scripture. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The grace of God in our lives enables us to give. Not my bank balance, not my ability, not my capacity, my God's grace. His grace enables me to sow, to give. It's so true. When you feel at the end of your tether and you have nothing, what feels like nothing, God has given you seed. And that seed, as small as it is, has the ability to bring a harvest. Verse 10 says, and this is God's part. Okay, so we're gonna see from verse 10 to verse 11, we're going to see God's part and we're going to see our part. This is God's part. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Both seed that we sow and bread that we eat, that's both spiritual and material things. In fact, everything we do is spiritual. Everything we do is worship. But what we eat comes from God. So food, your salary, the word of God is referred to as the bread. We eat that. We grow spiritually. And if you eat too many takeaways, you also grow a little bit more physically. What God gives us, friends, I want to say, in this life is to be enjoyed, to be experienced, but also to be extended so that the people might experience the goodness of God through our giving. Verse 11, our part. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Firstly, we are enriched in every way. Not just financially. In every way we have been enriched through God. Forgiveness, kindness, our possessions, our time. We have been enriched in every way. And I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For it says, for you know the grace of the Lord, Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. We have become rich, friends. We are enriched. In other words, we are blessed abundantly. Secondly, the reason we are enriched in every way is to be generous in every way. We are enriched to give, not to store. Enriched to enrich others. Blessed to be a blessing. I think Brad shared a little bit on this on Sunday. We are enriched in every way to be generous. In every way. Be generous in praying for others. Be generous in sharing your possessions. Be generous in kindness, forgiveness, ultimately revealing Jesus. And thirdly, the purpose behind our giving, and this is the one that I want to emphasize this morning, is that our sowing glorifies Jesus. Our giving glorifies Jesus. It doesn't glorify us, and it shouldn't. It should glorify him because everything we have, the seed and the bread, come from God. I've got four principles this morning of sowing and reaping that I want to share with us. The first one is everything starts with a seed. Everything starts with a seed. The purpose of a tree producing fruit, and we've got some farmers here, we farm strawberries, lovely strawberries. But the purpose of a tree producing fruit is so that it can multiply itself, because within the fruit, you will always find seed. There are things in our lives, and that's our lives, my life, that we need to sow in order to grow. If a tree stops producing seed or seed-bearing fruit, it will eventually die without reproducing itself. And I was reading this and I was thinking, am I reproducing my life into others with what Jesus has given me? Or am I just a tree that sucks up the nutrition but bears no fruit? Because within the fruit, we have seed. And that seed is what brings life. And that life is not only for us, it's for the world around us. I mean, I was eating a nachi, and there's nothing worse, or a watermelon. I was eating a nachi, and in the nachi was fruit, and it was beautiful, but there was these seeds, and it's the worst thing when you're chewing a segment, and you've got the seed, and you spit it out, you know? We don't think twice. We just spit the seed out. But that tiny little seed has infinite potential for life. Infinite potential to grow into something wonderful that can feed others. And the same is true for us. Every one of us have something to give, small or little. Small or little, you have something to give. But you might be looking at your seed and saying, well, I don't have enough. My seed is too small. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I can't speak as well as that person to tell this person about Jesus. You see, the value is not found in the seed in its current state, but rather what the seed will become. What the seed will become. What are you doing with the seed that God has given you? Number two, nothing happens until the seed is planted. Planting is an intentional process. It doesn't just happen. Can you imagine a farmer buying seed or getting seed and going to his farm, taking the seed to his storehouse, sitting on his couch with his feet up, hoping to bring in a harvest? Multiplication is only possible when seed is planted in the ground. That's where growth comes from. It's when we sow, not when we withhold. I find sometimes in our lives, we think by withholding seed, storing, hoarding our time, our wealth, our talents, our life, our children, that by withholding somehow we're going to increase what we have. It's only in the sowing that God brings multiplication. There's times where I've gone to the nations, or I was planning to go to the nations, Lesotho. And it's been a rough couple of weeks and a couple of months. And in my heart, I just feel like, man, all I want to do is just stay at home with family. Just have a braai. Go to the beach. But I choose to go to Lesotho. But I tell you what, every time I come back, I'm enriched. God, who can outgive God? Who outgives God in your life? Do you think you can outgive God, what He has in store for you? Do you think you are limited by what you have? Who is God? What does He have in His storehouse? What does He have in His storehouse that He has not already given us? God has given us everything. Think about it. We have to plant seed, friends, today. We have to begin to pray. We have to begin to share. We have to begin to love. We can't withhold, because as Christians, we are called to plant. We are called to give, like Christ gave His life for us. Number three, and I've only got 4 points. When I have need, I should plant seed. We live in a time in this world of great need. Everyone is trying to store, everyone is trying to hoard, everyone's trying to preserve life, but this should not be the case with us as Christ followers. We should be an extravagantly generous people in spite of our need, because firstly, our generosity acknowledges that everything I have and everything that I sow comes from God. And secondly, the reason we are generous in our giving is because we model the generous nature of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about it for a moment. When a farmer sows seed into a field, he doesn't sow it into a field that already has crop. No, they harvest that. He sows it into a barren field. He sows it into a field that has been plowed, has been broken open, and he sows it in there so that life would come. So he's sowing into a barren field. And maybe this morning you are here, and there are barren places in your life. And perhaps the reason there are barren places in your life is because you've been unwilling to sow seed into that barren field. Perhaps your marriage this morning, there are areas in your marriage that are barren because you're unwilling to sow the seed of forgiveness. You're unwilling to sow the seed of humility, the seed that considers someone else's needs above my own. Your children, your finances. There was a period in my life, in the early days of my walk with God, where I didn't tithe for a few months. Ooh, confessions of a pastor. This should be interesting. The reason I'm telling you this is because I was withholding from God. Because I thought in my keeping, bucks were tight. I'm going to keep so that I can have more. And what I found is that we were worse off in our holding than we were in our giving. And I felt in that period, God say this to me, "Do you believe that I'm your provider?" And I said, "Of course. Yes, Lord, I do." "Then why do you live your life as if I'm not?" I was saying with my lips that God is my provider, but in my heart, I was denying it by the way I was living. I was convicted, and I began to tithe. And you know what happened? We had some pretty difficult months ahead. But sometimes when you sow, we don't, you know, it's not like we put in 50 bucks in the tithe and offerings and go, "Yeah, Lord, just check the 50 bucks, eh? I'm sowing. I want to reap a thousand rand, eh?" It doesn't work that way. But God gives us peace. And he gives us joy and he gives us contentment. And we learn to trust him. Romans 8:31 Verse 32 says, "He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" God emptied out the storehouse of heaven for you and for me of all its riches when he gave Christ to us. He did not withhold Jesus from us, who is of infinite value, who is immeasurable in worth. God gave him for you and for me. If he didn't withhold his own son, what else will he withhold from our lives? What else is there? The question I ask myself, is it something of value in my life that I'm withholding from Jesus this morning that I refuse to sow? Because if I do, if there is an area, it might cause barrenness in parts of my life. And I won't fully walk in all that God has for me. There's a second type of barrenness, and I'm bringing this to a close shortly. There's a second type of barrenness. Shelley spoke about a field that was plowed, fallow tilled, fallow ground. So we see barrenness happens without sowing, but also the farmer will intentionally not sow on ground that has been plowed for the sake of restoring fertility to the soil. So in crop rotations, he will take the crop and plant it somewhere else, but he'll plow the ground and leave it for a while so that it'll be fertilized. And I think that's true for us. I know certainly in our lives, there's been things where God has sometimes left the certain areas in my life barren. Not God necessarily, my decisions. And what it has done is that barrenness has caused me to go to my knees, to bow before Jesus in humility. Because here's the thing, if the soil is not good, the seed's not going to grow. And so sometimes the soil of my heart needs time to become fertile again, that I might receive God's instruction and truth in humility and choose to trust Him again and do what He tells me to do. It's where He changes my motives and my attitudes, where I'm no longer self-seeking, but I'm other people seeking and Christ-centered. It's time, in this time, we have to be patient. Don't grow weary of doing good, but seek God. Lastly, the fourth point, we sow the seed and God brings the growth. Every time we broadcast the gospel, we are sowing seed, but it is God who brings the growth. I think the greatest seed you and I as Christians have is the seed of the gospel. You and I that have the keys to eternal life. We've got to tell people about Jesus. We've got to invest in people's lives for the sake that they will encounter Jesus Christ. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 9, and it says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. You are fellow workers, friends, in the kingdom of God. Our responsibility is to sow seed. God brings the growth. We're not to focus on growth. You do not know what's happening under the surface of people's hearts. Like a farmer who sows seed, he sows it, but he doesn't know what's happening under the ground. And that same is true for us. His responsibility is to sow and water, but it's God who will bring the increase. The truth is, we always reap in a different season than when we sow. I'm grateful to my parents who have sown seed of the gospel. They've taught me about Jesus and prayed for my life many years ago. They did it for many, many, many years. And today, and for a period of time, have been enjoying the fruit of their labor. That's me. Yeah. I'm sowing the seed of humility right now. But there was a time when my life was barren. But my parents were sowing. They were sowing. They were watering. But it was barren. I was running from God. I ran from truth. I lived a life of gratifying myself, hoping to be satisfied, but finding that everything I pursued of mine left me empty until one day, after years of my parents and others sowing seed and watering and watering and watering, in a moment, God brought growth to the seed and I met Jesus. I met Jesus because of what they planted. And this is the truth, friends. Without the seed being sown, growth cannot happen. Without seed being planted, growth cannot happen. Do not focus on growth. We do not know what's happening under the surface. Just sow seed. In closing, Galatians 6, 7 to 10. And I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says this. Don't be misled. Can I maybe ask the muses to come forward? It'd be great for us to end this morning with worshiping the one who gives so much to us. It says this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. We need to do good, friends. We need to sow seed. If we want to reap a harvest, we must sow seed. We cannot reap where we have not sown. We mustn't grow weary of doing good in our families, in our marriages, in our workplace. Sow seed. Take the seed that God has given you and sow it into this world, because ultimately that which we sow is for the glory of God. The reason we are able to give this morning is because what we have has been freely given to us. We are to freely give to the world and those around us. I'll leave us with this question. Is what seed do you have today that God wants you to plant? What seed do you have to plant? And then I'm going to encourage you to go and plant it.